Well, let's turn over to, in this first message, let's start over. I'm going to turn over to get a background on the message today. Let's turn over to John chapter 5. For those who want to turn there, if not, you can listen. But here we see in John chapter 5, the background here where numerous amounts of people would be healed in this certain pool. And it was a timing factor. The angel would come down and it would stir up the pool and the people would be healed. And there was an individual here, picking up in John chapter 5, verse 5, where there's a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, so Christ knew he was in this condition a long time, just as for us, before we're called, we're in a condition a long time where we've been sick, spiritually sick, and we want to be healed, and it's through God the Father drawing us to his Son that we can be healed. And here, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and he walked. What I want to get to is over here in verse 14. The individual leaves. He doesn't know who healed him. He can't point him out. But they catch up to each other in the temple. And Jesus Christ sees him in verse 14. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, "See, you have been made well." So I healed you, you've been made well, you're able to walk. And Jesus says to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now we know for us, in our calling, we're being judged right now. And God wants us to live that way of life. And if we turn our back on him, there will be a worse thing, eternal death. And not only that, things that happen between now and then, or even if we do repent before our death, our judgment, we have obstacles in our life where we obey God and then we fall back and we disobey God. And we have these certain trials and tests and God gets us to want us to come back to see him, to do his will. So we go back and forth sometimes in our spiritual life of obeying and we lax and we come back. And God says, "Hey, keep this fight. I healed you." And in our case, he's healed us spiritually. He doesn't want us to go backwards lest a worse thing happen to us. Deuteronomy chapter 13:3 says, "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams." In other words, someone else who's teaching another prophecy, another way that I am teaching you. "For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So, God tests us. We're called. There's testing involved. When God calls us, it's not enough to just change. Go, what? It's not enough. We're called to change, but it's not just enough to change or to follow many of the directives in the Bible. There's more to it than that. We must be led to know the Word of God, to serve and rely on God who is revealed in this book through the Holy Spirit and through the inspired Word, written Word of God. So we need to know God's word is there for us to inspire us, to be moved by it, not just go through the emotions. I want to read to you from the booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. I'll refer to this booklet a couple of times regarding the word of God. The introduction says, I'm talking about the United Church of God and the beliefs of the United Church of God, states, "We believe that scripture, both the Old and New Testament, is God's revelation and his complete expressed will to humanity. Scripture is inspired in thought and in word. So it's inspired. It's not just reading it. It's inspired. It's infallible in the original writings. It's the supreme and final authority in faith and in life. And it's the foundation of all truth. And that's what we base our beliefs, is by the word of God. How close do we think we are to God? We're coming here to Sabbath. You know, we live our lives. How close do we think we are to God? Well, let's see what God says over in Isaiah chapter 55. You know, just as we saw this man being healed, where Jesus Christ healed him, he couldn't have been healed on his own. By his own conditions, his own works, his own anything. He had to be healed by God. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6, says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him." So God has mercy when we repent. "Have mercy on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." So how close do we think we are with God? Do we think that, you know, what's our process? What are we doing in our lives? You know, are we putting God first? Or do we think that, you know, we can do things a certain way here and there? But God is saying right here, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." We have different thoughts. "Nor your ways, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we need the inspired word of God. As we're called, not just anyone can understand this book. You know, I was talking to some of you this early before services, and it's other people donate their time, give their time to other church organizations, and yet you were just so surprised how foul-mouthed they were. And when you confronted them and told them, "Hey, don't speak that way in front of me, taking God's name in vain and doing this and talking vulgar," they didn't care except for one person. So we do have a higher source. When we are called, God does inspire us through his word. So I've titled the first message today, "Living by the Word of God." And I want to talk about today living the Word of God as he shows us for spiritual growth. In Revelation 19:13, we see, you don't need to turn there, but we see that Jesus Christ's name is the Word of God. So we have the inspired scriptures, and we also see that Jesus' name, Revelation 19:13 says that Jesus Christ's name is the Word of God. So when we're called and we've been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, we were worked with through the power of God. Jesus Christ is the one who guides us and directs us and helps us, and it's through him that our sins can be forgiven. And in Hebrews 4:12, I want to read, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So not only can God, as he tests us, see who we are, we also can see who we are ourselves by how we obey God or not and the things that we do. Because the Holy Spirit works with us and moves us and wants us to do what is right. And when we go contrary to that, there's that thinking in our mind, "I shouldn't be doing that." But do we cover that thought process up? Do we want our thoughts, "Oh, I can do this on my own"? You know, we need to yield to God's Holy Spirit as he yields us and guides us and molds us to do his will. And we have this book as the inspired word of God to look at. Yes, there's a couple of places in the Bible where Some things are rewritten, but you know, we pick those out and we know what those are, and we have a good website we can go on and we can look at and the interpretation of the Bible, and we have the ministry that God has inspired. So there's how we were able to learn and read this book and implement and live by every word of God. You know, Jesus Christ sets us an example how to live by every word of God. And I want to read out of the booklet again on page 8 and read the second paragraph. The Holy Scriptures are the foundation of the knowledge and truth that Jesus and the apostles used as a basic text for teaching God's way to salvation. So it's the book that we use in the Sabbath services every week to be able to learn from what is being said. And we're here, and then the prayer we heard today was asking for God's inspiration to help us to hear what he wants us to hear, and then was also said to implement it into our lives. Since first and foremost, Jesus Christ set the example of following the scriptures as the ultimate authoritative text in a Christian's life. So sometimes we may be up here, we may hear something, I don't know about that. Our nature doesn't want to change. But this is inspired word of God. And we can try to justify things by saying, well, that's not really what it says. And we stop and think about, why are we trying to justify what was being said by the word of God? Why are we trying to justify when God is trying to tell us to change? It's because we really don't want to change. You stop and think about it. So in successfully combating temptation from the ultimate enemy, Satan the devil, Christ stated, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's by every word, not just some, it's by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what we need to be living by. That's what we need to be focusing on. That's what we need to be praying about and asking for God's guidance and direction. Help us to live by every word of God, and not just sweep it underneath the carpet. Now, Paul was speaking to the Roman church, and he used the scriptures. In the booklet, it says here that Paul would say, what does the scriptures say? And he would also, for the scriptures say this, when he would be teaching the times in the Roman, in the book of Romans. You know, back then, here you have it, it had a society that was very pagan, just like the society that we live in today. And people were being called out. And Paul was working not only with the Jews, but also with the Gentiles. And there was division. There was division, and Paul saying, what are you doing? Those in the church didn't want to see other people to come into the church and learn about God's ways. They thought they were the only ones. Paul was saying, no, the Gentiles also need to be coming in. And he was talking about them to be a living sacrifice, to give of yourself. Learn what the scriptures say. And in Romans 12:1, Paul talks about what we need to be doing in every capacity, so that we can be growing spiritually, so that in this process of being called out to be made spiritually well, we continue and to be being made spiritually well. So it's not just a one-time thing, being baptized. I want to get rid of Satan. And we do everything we can, and we're just gung-ho. I'm baptized. I'm thankful. I don't want to live that way of life. God has shown me that way is wrong. And to continue in it. We want to continue in it. There's so many people that have left that are not continuing in it. And these individuals were causing division in the church. And he says, stop it. Unless the worst thing happened to you. We need to stop it unless the worst thing happened to us. But he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we've made a full commitment to surrender to do God's will. That's what we did. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And we just read that we need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we can think about it ourselves. What are we doing? And if we're not living by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, and we know that we should, what is God doing to us as well? Paul is saying to look for growth. Look for growth in our lives. And he continues, and just to summarize, if you want to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 12, you know how that is done. Just paraphrasing some of the verses, going down to verse all the way from 9 to 21, he says, don't be hypocrites. Don't allow evil to reside in our lives. He says, be steadfast in prayer. Don't wait to do good. Do good today. Don't be wise in your own mind. Don't repay evil for evil. And overcome evil by doing good. So we can ask ourselves when we just go through, read the chapter, how are we doing in our lives? Are we responding to what God says? Or are we just doing some of it? God says to do it all. And in Romans 13:8, he tells us to love one another. He says, don't covet, that love is the fulfillment of the law. So we can't be coveting physical things, doing our own will, keeping part of God's law, and think that we can love God. Because when we do that, we can't love God. And when we can't love God, we can't treat each other as God says we're supposed to treat others as we treat ourselves. It's impossible. So what Paul is saying, let's turn over to Romans 8:13. What Paul is saying is that we need to be putting away the deeds of the flesh, our desires. You know, Jesus Christ said it's an amazing example that he didn't want to die that excruciating pain. He was willing to die and he did it, but if there was another way, he was asking God if there was another way, but not my will, your will. There's only one way for us, and that's by living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we want to grow spiritually, so we can ask ourselves, am I growing spiritually? Am I not growing spiritually? And when I'm not growing spiritually, what happens? Romans 8:13. Therefore, I'm in Corinthians. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if we're living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, by God's Holy Spirit, says we will put the deeds of the flesh away. It means we won't be practicing sin. We won't want to be sinning. But we must be living by the word of God through his Holy Spirit. We can't just keep some of the law. We have to keep the whole law. So God tells us in many ways what we need to be doing. In our prayer, in our own reading, from the pulpit, from the booklets, you know, by the inspired word of God, through Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:16 continues in this process what we're told to come out of. 1 John 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, talking about God, but is of the world. It is seeking the world's, being part of the world's society, seeking our will. It's not seeking God's will. That's the lust of the flesh. Something that God says, don't seek, don't live. We don't want to deceive ourselves. We need to stop living to our thoughts, is what is being said here, to our understanding, to our will. We need to change and want to change and come out of the world. In the booklet, Fundamental Beliefs, it says the Old and New Testaments are unified in revealing God's plan of salvation and the working out of the plan in human history. And how many people believe today? There's a lot of people that believe that the law was done away with. It was nailed to the cross when Jesus Christ died. And a lot of those people you talk to, it's like, there's no way we can keep that law. It's impossible to keep that law. It's too hard. They don't have the understanding. God hasn't opened their eyes to see and understand this book. Of course, up and by ourselves, it is hard to keep God's law. It's impossible to keep God's law. It says God can heal people. He heals us spiritually. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we actually had those cards that just came in from the home office that the ABC class put together. And I decided, we came up with this scripture. Actually, we read the scripture, it tells you where is that scripture at in the Bible. And so I thought this would be fitting to for the message. So I think it fits right in. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I mean, it's profitable for instruction of what Jesus Christ said, the Word of God. Not any other doctrine, His doctrine. For reproof. I mean, it's proof as a witness. We know without a doubt that God exists. For correction, for instruction. Meaning, we're going to be tested. We're going to be chastened. God wants to know. God wants us to grow in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we are tested from the pulpit. We are tested from the book. We are tested through God's Holy Spirit to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about that. The examples in this Bible are for us. They're for us. Paul's talking about the examples of Israel. What they went through are examples for us to learn from what they did not to do. And you can go through the history of Israel. What happened when they disobeyed God? They were put into captivity. They disobeyed God, and they were put into captivity for their disobedience, and he turned them over to a king that was already in that disobedience. They disobeyed God. They had lust of the flesh. You know, who ruled over them? Some type of king that was that way. God gave them even more. Someone to rule over them with what they were desiring. And then when they would repent and cry out to God, forgive us, change us, help us, send us a deliverer, he did that, and he gave them a righteous king. And then Israel would go back, and then God would put them back into bondage again, back and forth, back and forth. And it is with our spiritual lives, too. God wants us to grow, to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, so we don't go back into the stresses, the trials that we'd put upon ourselves. You know, there are trials, and then there are severe trials. Trials, a lot of trials we put upon ourselves, but there's also testing that God does for us to see where we're at. But when we sin, we have, a lot of times we have family problems. We have, you know, these spiritual problems. We have money problems. We have finance problems. We have just problem after problem after problem, and they just keep piling up. We have to ask ourselves, has God given us more because that's the way I'm living my life now? We just have to ask ourselves that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, Paul is saying in verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, that the people sat down and ate and drank and rose up to play. nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 20,000 people fell. So look what happened. They disobeyed, and then look what happened. People died. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. They disobeyed. They were destroyed. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. So the end of what, the end result of what they did ended up in death. God does not want us to end up in death. He gives us the opportunity to repent many times. In verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No test has overtaken you except such as common to man. In other words, it means we're all tested. We all go through tests. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But with that test will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If we live by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth, when we are tested, we will love God. And those tests will be not as difficult. It'll be easy for us to conquer, as we'll talk about in a couple of stories here in just a second. And in verse 14, therefore, my brethren, flee from idolatry. So he's saying, flee from idolatry. Flee from focusing on ourselves. Flee from just doing some of the truth. Now, the Jews, they kept the Sabbath. They kept the clean and unclean meats. They tithed. But they complained. But they still did what they wanted to do. They still fulfilled the lusts of the flesh. They did not live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn over to Judges chapter 3. And look at a situation here where it talks about where Israel and Joshua. Where Israel would go back and forth. Here in Judges chapter 3, it says in the first verse that these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. So he was going to test Israel by other influences. He's going to allow things to happen. Dropping down to verse 4 says, and they were left that he might test Israel by them. And what happened when he tested them? They failed the test. And thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hittites, etc., etc. In verse 7, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baals and Asherahs. And he turned them over to an unrighteous king. So you're living that way, I'm going to turn you over to an unrighteous king. We live that way, God can turn us over to more of an influence with Satan. And then in verse 9, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, and they were delivered. And then, verse 12, they go back into rebellion again. And here, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord strengthened Elon, king of Moab. So here is another king, and Moab, a king of the Moabites. Do you know where the Moabites originated from? The epitome of the lust of the flesh came from Lot and Lot's. They descended from Lot and Lot's daughter. So the child was born, and we know that story of what happened there and why that happened. But so here Israel was disobeying, serving the lusts of the flesh, and God puts them over someone who represents, okay, you want to serve? I'm going to put you over someone who is that same type of person representing that. So Elon, in verse 12, says, Elon, king of Moab. So Israel, so the Lord strengthened, I'm sorry, Israel. The Lord So the Lord God strengthened Elon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. So the children of Israel served Elon, king of Moab, 18 years. So he put them under bondage of this king for 18 years. You know, what happens to us when we disobey God? How long do some of our trials can sometimes go on? When do we get it that we need to surrender to God and yield to God in every way? We made that commitment at baptism. And this is a good example, you know, with Israel going in and out of bondage, repenting and changing and going back to their ways. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, so here they're crying out to God. We don't like this. We don't like it. So God is showing them, okay, you really want that? Here it is. You're not going to like it. God does that to us in our lives too. And the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Eud. So here God raised up a deliverer. And if, you know, you go into, as the story flows, you know, dropping down, you have, or God raised this individual up and to go and destroy this king who represented the lusts of the flesh. He created the sword. He got in up to the upper court. He got inside and he says, I have a secret for you, king, as you go through the story. And the king was all excited, a secret. And God had this plan to where he would be killed and Israel would be delivered. And the rest of the people of Moab would be, most of them would be destroyed and Israel would be freed again. But he chased everyone out of the room. He's excited that a secret was going to be given to him by Eud. And Eud pulled out a sword and just shoved it into this very large man. And the sword was 18 inches long and the handle went inside and everything, where his whole innards came out. And that's what sin smells like. In verse 24, and when he had gone out, so he left. He did that. He left the room. And Elon's servants, the king, came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So here Eud leaves the facility after he killed him, closed the doors and locked it, and he left. And here comes the king's servants. Okay, he's gone. We're going back into the king. And so they said, and Elon's servants came to the door to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber, meaning he was sitting on the bathroom. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the door. So to the point where they were really embarrassed, they finally opened the doors because it smelled so bad. And they found him laying there dead. And that's what sin is. That's what sin should be to us. It should smell. It should stink. It should be disgusting. Israel cried out to God and repented, and God showed them, hey, that's what I'm going to put you. I gave you over to someone where you were serving the lust of the flesh. You repented. I'm showing you what sin is. Please respond and go forward. So we too must repent and change and hate sin. You know, we can ask ourselves a question. You know, what restrains us from doing good? What are we not listening to when we're inspired by the Word of God when we should change? Just something for us to think about. What is holding us back? Why is it hard for me to change? Why do I have all these struggles and these pains? And, you know, life isn't fair. We'll go through trials and situations. You know, that is for sure. You know, but in this book, it talks about Paul, that he was restrained. He was put in prison with chains, but it didn't stop him from doing good. Satan can do whatever he can to us to get us discouraged, you know, to get us focused on our bills, our problems. He does that. He's very good at that. Well, he'll do whatever he can to get us to justify sin so we won't change and obey God. We need to conquer Satan in every capacity. And when we're obeying God to the fullest extent and living by every word of God, we can conquer Satan. I'd like to turn to one more story over in 1 Chronicles. And in the history of David, he was a type of Christ. He was the only individual who had God's Holy Spirit in the whole kingdom. He was a king, just like Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can look back at individuals in David's army. And we can be, for me, it's like, wow, these valiant men that, you know, in war, they were strong. Talks about some of the things that they did. It's not for us to go and kill anyone. This is what God was working with them in the Old Testament. Some of these men would kill men bigger than them, sometimes hundreds of men. Sometimes they would take their weapons away. And David here is looking for valiant men to be in his army. Jesus Christ is looking for valiant brothers and sisters, children of God, to be in his kingdom. And I think there's a good parallel here as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, all scripture is edified for reproof, for correction, for help, for growth. And I think through this story here, we can pick a little bit of that out. Because here, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10, now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So it was concerning to the word of God that this would happen. Now when we look, and we know that this is the type, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that the examples in the Old Testament, the examples in the Bible are examples for us to grow and change and overcome. We look at Satan as a parallel, or a lion as a parallel to Satan. That's who we must conquer. And you can go through the New Testament and you can see the parallels that are used of how Satan works, how a lion is, and what we need to be doing to be overcoming Satan, that lion, and what we need to be continuing to be coming out of sin, right? Egypt represents coming out of sin. Once we make a commitment to God, he doesn't want us to go back to Egypt. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. They went through the Red Sea, a type of baptism, made a commitment, but they turned and always looked back. They still kept the Sabbath. They still kept the food, the food laws, the tithing, certain things, but they didn't. They still were focused on the flesh. I think it's a good example here for us of the parallel, the physical to the spiritual. We can be like this individual. Now, we could pick out anyone here, but I want to pick out Benaiah in chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kazil, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. Who's Moab? What does Moab represent? The lusts of the flesh. Who is over the lust of the flesh, the poles of the world? It's Satan. He killed two lion-like heroes. He made a commitment. And David chose him to be one of his top commanders. And God wants to choose us to be one of his top commanders in his kingdom. We're part of the first fruits. But we too must conquer Satan. Benaiah, as a parallel here of the physical, conquered two type lions. He made a commitment. We need to make a commitment. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Now who, we look back in these situations, who can do that? Well, first of all, he conquered Satan. He made that commitment. We made that commitment. We made that commitment, that baptism, that we were going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's conquering Satan. Surrendering our will to God's will. And the parallel here, when we do that, we can conquer Satan every single day. Doesn't matter how big that lion is. Doesn't matter if it's slippery and snowy and cold. Doesn't matter if he's down in that pit. We can conquer him by living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in that process, we don't want to be like Israel and going back and falling back. And, you know, but there's times that we do, but we need to repent. Benaiah shows that he continues to not look back I think he does as he goes on. And he killed an Egyptian. He didn't continue to carry sin with him. He didn't complain. He wasn't an idolater. He didn't focus on the lusts of the flesh. And when we don't do that, look what he's able to conquer. A man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand there was a great spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff and wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. We can do that spiritually. We can do that spiritually if we're determined to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can do that spiritually. We just have to make that commitment. When we do this, God is bigger in our lives. We ask for his help, his guidance, his direction, because we can't do this on our own. God tells us how we do it in this book. And then that's how we live. And we ask for guidance and help. So in conclusion, it is easy to assume that we have the same mentality as God sometimes. That we can get it, go along in society, and that we can do this, we can do that, and I'm keeping the Sabbath, and I'm keeping, you know, the letter of the law, and I'm keeping, you know, this and that. But we must keep all of it. God says, my ways are not your ways. And we need God's ways. We need to get God's thoughts to be our thoughts. And then the Holy Scriptures will be open to us. God can work with us on the spiritual level because we're responding to him. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love. So God loves the whole world. But John 3:16, he works with those who believe on Jesus Christ now. And we're called now. So he says, as many as I love, he says, I rebuke and chasten. He's going to correct us. He's going to teach us. He's going to tell us things. He's going to inspire us things through this book and through his Holy Spirit, through his ministry, that we don't want to hear sometimes. Or it shouldn't be our attitude. It should be like Benaiah's. I want to know. I want to change. I'm going to change. Because God says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you because I called you and I need you to change. So he says, be zealous, therefore. Be zealous and repent. And we need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we will be tested and we'll be asked in our lives. And we just have to ask ourselves, am I doing that? Am I doing that? Am I growing spiritually? And if we are growing spiritually, we could be making those changes in our lives as God shows us. And as God shows us, we're making those choices to live by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth.